Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we sing those words, that you are our strength and our shield, that we can come into your presence, that we can worship you, but more importantly, that we can know you in a very real, deep and personal way. And as we come to look at your word today, I pray that you'll open our hearts and minds to receive, to be fed, to be challenged from it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm guessing if I asked us to show some hands, that all of us here would say that we love a bargain. Only two people, three people? Okay, good. Everybody, I'm sure, loves a bargain. Who doesn't?
If you don't really need it, it's not.
Well, that's a true thing too. If you don't really need it, it's not a bargain either. Did a woman really say that? I'm not going to make any comment. But yes, if I can wheel or deal, if I can get a better price for something, I'm happy. I'm sure we all are. Even if it's only a couple of euros, it's better in my pocket, is my philosophy. And in today's world, it's so much easier to wheel and deal. We don't actually even have to leave our homes. If we can have access to a computer, we can do all the kind of comparing of prices and the wheeling and dealing that we want. There are lots of websites that even give side-by-side comparisons to the things that we perhaps are looking for. All we need to do is click the mouse a few times, enter in the credit card, of course, and wait for whatever we want to be delivered. And one of the areas I find online to be especially useful, and this probably sounds quite boring, but I'm middle-aged and boring, so I may as well say it, but it's easy to compare things like electricity charges, gas charges, mobile phone charges. Every company is competing for your business and for your money. And it's amazing the offers that are out there. 20% off this, 25% off that, a free 75 euro voucher if you sign up with us, unlimited calls, texts and lots of data if you change your plan from that company to our company. At the click of a button, you can compare all sorts of things. And for me, anyway, often it's that little added extra that makes the difference. That little added extra that seals the deal, that sets out one from another. And as we come to today's passage, as we come to God's word today, that's what I want us to keep in mind. That little extra that sets out one from another. That helps us to begin to unlock the passage and the theme that we're going to look at for a few moments today. The extra that seals the deal, which makes the difference, which sets out one from another. These last couple of months, we have been looking at some of the New Testament principles that are called the one another principles in the Bible. There's about 59 one another principles that are designed for church communities, for believing communities to live around. Things like loving one another, things like encouraging one another, things like greeting one another, things like forgiving one another, principles that should be part of any church community. And I'm sure you'd agree that they're all very good and all very positive aspirations that we should have as a church. The problem is, many of these things are not especially unique to church communities. You don't actually have to be part of a church community to encourage one another, to greet one another, to love one another. Many of these things, it could be argued, are equally aspirations and principles that can be part of a secular group. And that's a fair point. And if you said that to me, I would take that point. But there are things that are unique to the church community that no other community can confess. There are things that are unique to a church community that set us apart from secular groups, for example. The major one, of course, is that we proclaim a belief in God. That we proclaim a belief in a God who speaks to us through his word, We believe in a God who has redeemed us, saved us through his Son Jesus and the cross, and that we can have a relationship with that God through his Spirit. Things that set us apart from secular organizations. And as we come to today's reading, beautifully read from James 5, we come across another extra, if you want, another add-on that we can offer to one another above and beyond any secular group. So as always, can I encourage you to turn to the reading on the weekly sheet, or if you have a pew Bible near you, to turn to James chapter 5. It's the 20th book in the New Testament, about three quarters of the way through the New Testament part of the Bible. And as you're turning there, we obviously find ourselves in the book of James. And as the name suggests, it was written by James, who was a prominent disciple. Most likely, scholars say that it was a half-brother of Jesus. And at the beginning of his book, there's a lovely description of where his heart and his motivation lie. This is what he writes. He says, "I am a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ." Not serving just anything, but his motivation, his desire is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this book, he is writing to Jewish believers. So often in this sermon series, we are looking at Paul, who is writing to Gentile believers, new believers in different countries. But today, James is writing to Jewish believers to encourage them to endure and to live bold Christian lives, to be sincere in how they follow and live out their lives as followers of Jesus. And James, in general, is a book that's very practical in nature, about helping believers live a life that reflects a genuine faith, that reflects something of the transforming faith in Jesus. And as we come to our passage today in James chapter 5, it's right at the end of the epistle, right at the end of James. And he is stressing the weight, magnitude, and importance of prayer in the life of every believer. And this is especially summed up in James 5, verse 16, which you'll see in bold print if you're following on the weekly sheet. But he writes, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for one another." In fact, through the book of James, he uses the word prayer 7 times, which signifies the importance of prayer in the life of believers and a believing community. And in this one another, I believe we find something very special, something that sets us apart, as I've said already, from every other grouping, something that offers something very deep and reassuring as we live and share our lives together, as we build God's community in this place, in this group of parishes, that we commit to pray for one another, something different. So as we proceed from this point, it's not going to be so much a sermon on the question of how God answers prayers. That's for another day, another sermon. But it's a reminder, firstly, of how important prayer is, how we structure prayer, and how we might apply that into our own lives and into the life of this church and this group of parishes. So the first thing to understand is that prayer is important. If we went to another epistle, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it would remind us that we should pray without ceasing, that we should pray in all circumstances. Sometimes we are driven to prayer when life is more difficult, but it reminds us that we should pray always, that we should bring all of our lives before God. For me, simply put, prayer is about spending time with God. It's about talking to God. It's about listening to God. And we see that right through the Bible, from Moses to Elijah to David in the Psalms to Jesus, setting time aside regularly and bringing lives before God. And sometimes in all of those examples, we see them come before God with thankfulness. Sometimes we see them come before God with questions, sometimes in anger, sometimes in brokenness, sometimes not knowing what to say, but at all times knowing that they can bring their lives before God, that we can bring our lives before God, and God hears and God listens to us. And then as we think about the structure of prayer, we find the model that Jesus gives in Matthew and Luke's gospel. It's a useful model when it comes to prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It reminds us that we acknowledge who God is, our Heavenly Father. That it reminds us that we are to pray for others, that we are to pray for our needs, that we are to seek forgiveness, that we are to bring glory to God in our lives. So prayer is important in the life of believers and in the life of the church. So in terms of today, we are reminded that not only do we pray for what is going on in our own lives, but we are to pray for one another. Again, as I ask each week, how do we apply that in a real way? We've got the theory part that prayer is important. How do we apply that in a way that helps us live out that principle as God's people in this place? Well, for me, the principle of praying for one another, as with all the one another principles that we've looked at over these last couple of months, it speaks of relationships. It speaks of sharing lives. It speaks once again of community, but is one of the unique add-ons or extras, as I keep impressing on us, that marks us as different. And so as we come to apply it, there for me are two levels. There is the corporate and there is the personal. The personal first. Let me give just a practical general example. Let's suppose we know someone is going into hospital. Let's suppose that we know someone has some life event coming up and we see them beforehand at church or maybe in the street or whatever. They are worried. They are nervous of what lies ahead. Well, let me ask this. What is the most powerful thing that we can say to them? I am thinking of you, or I'll be praying for you. Or which to you is the most powerful? Well, in my eyes at least, it is the second of the two. Why? Because it says to the person, not only am I thinking of you, not only am I journeying with you, not only do I care for you, but I will set some time aside to bring you before God, to remember you before God, and to leave you in God's hands. And as we do that, it's not about knowing the details. It's not about being elaborate in how we might bring that person in prayer. It's simply saying, Heavenly Father, I bring Craig before you today, and I ask that you be with them in what lies ahead. A simple way of saying to someone, I am thinking of you, but a deeper way of saying, I'll be praying for you. Simple, sincere, powerful, sharing lives together, praying for one another. And then there is the corporate element where we as a church pray for each other, where we come together to pray for our families, for our world, for our communities, for our country, and so on. We do that each time we meet on a Sunday morning. We do that as we take time in our prayers of intercession. I take time on a Sunday to check the news, to make sure that there's nothing that is missed, so that we can bring the news, we can bring the world, we can bring in a real way what's going on in the world around us before God on a Sunday, praying for one another. This year in the parish, I've introduced a quarterly time of prayer in Killincare, a time to come together to pray for one another. And from today, there's a new edition on the weekly sheet. If you turn to the back of the sheet, at the bottom of the sheet, and it's something that I will change monthly. But it's a way of committing to pray for various things, to pray for our diocese, to pray for our community, to pray for our parish, to pray for each townland, to remember each home and each person. Something that we can do in church, but something that we can take away and in our own quiet time with God, a real and practical way of praying for one another. Simple, sincere, but powerful ways to say to each other, to say to those around us, we are thinking of you, we are part of you, and we want to bring you before our Heavenly Father. So how important and vital and special and unique a thing we have as a church. something that marks us as different, as people, to be able to say and to be able to pray for one another. So let's do that now for a few moments. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, all of these passages are about relationships. They're about knowing each other and journeying with each other in whatever life brings before us. And again, what a wonderful principle it is that we can pray for one another, that we can say to someone, I will be praying for you today and in what lies ahead, that we can give thanks to God for the blessings in life, that we can come before God sincerely to pray for the world, to pray for our communities, to pray for those in need, to pray for those that are around us today. And so, Lord, we pray that in real and practical ways, you will help us to live out this command to pray for one another. And I pray this in the power and in the name of Jesus. Amen.